This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Welcome to the Believe in the Challenge podcast. I'm your host, Katie Walski, and this podcast is all about the challenge universe. We are doing recaps of episodes, talking about all the drama and breaking news inside and outside the show, plus some interviews with your favorite cast members. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast to get your fill on all things MTV's The Challenge. We have a very exciting guest today. Jordan is back on the show. Hey girl, what's up? How's it going?
Hi, thanks for having me back again.
So excited to have you. What were your overall thoughts of this episode? It was a shorter episode than normal.
Yes, I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts. I will say that kind of a lot happened, but it seemed like nothing also happened. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good. I guess it left kind of on a cliffhanger though, because now essentially everyone has their skulls except for literally one couple. So it kind of sets it up to where next week is either going to be maybe like a double elimination or something, or they're going to like have a chance to steal or something. So it kind of sets it up. I feel like this was like a filler episode to kind of set us up for next week. Also, the challenge, like the actual challenge, was, I think, had the potential to be like really stellar, but I feel like barely anyone actually participated in it. So that was kind of tough. And then the elimination round, I just have so many thoughts about as well. But I think that it all just kind of is trying to set us up for next week when hopefully something a little spicier happens.
Yeah, I agree with that statement of feeling like, yes, I feel like we fit some puzzle pieces in, got some stuff done. But at the same time, it was like kind of like a meh, because not much really happened. There wasn't much drama.
That's exactly the perfect, literally the perfect analogy is like puzzle pieces. It just like fit us in. Now we're all up to date. We got to see a little bit of everything.
Right.
Now it's kind of setting us up.
Yeah. So then let's talk about that challenge, because the daily, I was super disappointed that basically no one was trying. What was that? Like Nani didn't really care to win because she's got friends in the game who could throw her in. Fessie clearly didn't want to win. Cam didn't care.
I don't know. I was so confused too when like Leroy was shouting over and Corey was shouting over it. And I was like, wait, is everyone not playing, like shouting over for the answers to the math question? I was so confused as to why everyone, it had the potential to be a really stellar challenge. And that's kind of what TJ was saying at the end was good job to like you three, but everyone else has kind of sucked. And I almost thought what he was going to do was, if you remember a few daily challenges back, the one where they were hanging on top of the thing from the helicopter and and all of the boys essentially didn't even participate at all. Do you remember that the one episode where he was like, everyone that didn't participate, your votes don't count? I kind of thought he was going to do that again, because literally so many people did not participate. Like, so if you can imagine Nani and Fessie, you know, like, and a couple other people's votes not even counting. I don't know if it would have made a difference, but I have so many thoughts about Nani, and because she did not participate at all. And Kyle is known for being able to eat literally anything. That's his best challenges are always eating challenges.
Right.
So she literally didn't do any of the eating, which yes, there were other parts to the challenge, but you had to get back past that point to get onto anything else. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, and they couldn't. So she didn't do any of the eating. Kyle eat everything just because she knew that one of her friends would help her. And then when she wins, she didn't even stay with Kyle. So I'm like, you literally used him just to win or to participate, but you didn't actually do anything. And she like reaped all the benefits. So I was like, very, irked by that whole situation. But yeah, I was kind of not living up to the hype as I kind of thought it would be. Because if everyone had tried and everyone had participated, it could have been like pretty gnarly. But
no, I totally agree. And I feel like they amped up that challenge so much.
Yes.
Before. I mean, they left us with a huge cliffhanger last week. So I thought that this challenge, I thought it was going to be like a taste of the final. And clearly we know Leroy and Casey are a great team and they can put stuff down and figure it out. But it was also great to see Gabby and Corey compete together.
Although I know Gabby's your girl. So I know.
I'm so sad that she went home. She tried her best. I mean, we'll get to that later. But I'm so proud of her.
Really, really good as well. And I'm so bummed that she lost. And especially bummed that she lost to Nani. Not that I'm a hater on Nani by any means, and I don't want to come across like that. But the whole, it just is such a tired thing for them to always be referring to Nani as the vet who just never has her lucky break or just never gets a chance. Like, she doesn't not get lucky breaks or not get chances because of any other reason that's different from anybody else. She doesn't do well. She loses. She tries and she loses. Like, as bad as that sounds. So for her to be so, and like, and you know, Leroy is like my absolute favorite. And even him in the interview beforehand, it's like, Nani's always just gets so close and I want to be the one to help her. Like, she always gets so close and then doesn't because of her own doing, not because of anything else. So yes, she's a vet, and yes, you know, all these things. And even in her confessional, she's like, I've been doing this for 10 seasons. I deserve da-da-da. Okay, but you don't just deserve to do it because you've been doing it for 10 seasons. I mean,
You need to like actually go get it. And that brings it back to like her not doing the challenge with Kyle. And Kyle was like, you can't just have your friends vote you in every time. Yeah, this season I think is panning out better for her because she's got a group of friends who have her back right now. And I think in past seasons she's never made it this far because, it's hard for her to do it on her own. Or I don't know if it's like like she says it's like a mental thing. Sometimes she just gives up on herself, like in the middle of it. I don't know if that's it or if she's just not competing to like 100% of her ability. But I also agree with the whole, I love Nani, but it is a little tiresome of saying she deserves it. Like, do it. And then I totally agree.
She wins,
and I agree.
Yes. She's always like, this is my 9th season, my 10th season. I've dedicated 10 years of my life. Da, da, da. I'm like, okay, congratulations. Have a cookie. I don't know. Like, that's great for you. I don't like her harping on the fact that she deserves this because she's been doing it for X amount of time. And especially, like you were saying, in the challenge when she didn't even try. And also she should know too, yes, that's fantastic for her that she got her skull and that she gets to potentially go to the final. We don't know what next week is, you know, going to be in store and like if there's any other twists and turns before you get to the final. But also, I wonder if she realizes, maybe not realizes, but I wonder if in the back of her mind she has an understanding of, which she should if she's been doing it for 10 seasons, is that yes, these are your pals and your friends who are helping you, but also if you were a Teresa or if you were, you know, a Cam 2.0 or if you were a Tori, no one is afraid that you are going to beat them in the final. So that is an extra layer of, yes, we'll help you get your skull because we would probably rather you have it than Gabby anyway.
Yeah. I mean, because if she's not throwing back that food now, how is that going to be in a chance, like in the final? Like, you know, there's always a food portion. So
she's not really great at puzzles. She's not really great at quick math or anything like that. You know, she gets very flustered under pressure. She has a lot of endurance, which is great, but she can't eat worth anything. So she probably has one really solid part of it, but there's so many other moving parts. So we'll see. Watch me eat all my words and she wins. I doubt that happens, but
that would be amazing. I mean, that would be amazing. Wow. So then talk to me about her and Fessy. We've been waiting for Fessy to finally get a new partner because we all know how tragic his life has been being partnered up with Anissa. He only talks about it every episode, all episode long, how awful it is to be her partner.
Three parts of this, maybe.
Okay.
Part three. Number one, I don't even know why she picked Fessy, honestly. I really don't.
I agree. I feel like I know where you're going and I agree with you, but I want to hear it.
If I were her, I 110% would have picked Darrell. 100%. I wouldn't. So I would not have picked. I feel like the other obvious choice would be to pick CT. And that would have been a fair choice. If I were her, I just totally would have picked Darrell for the sole reasons of obviously he is one of the best that's ever done it. He's been involved in very minimal drama or anything. He doesn't really have anyone coming for him. And his partner right now is a rookie. So you don't owe her anything. You haven't been working with her. It's not like if you were to, you know, if she was to take CT, who's obviously partnered with Cam, Leroy is the one that sent her down there. There's a conflict of interest there. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of whether or not, you know, Cam wants to be with CT or not, but she's just not going to rock the boat in that aspect. So then your other, I just wouldn't have picked Fessy. I just don't think that he really is as great as he says he is, or that for some reason everyone thinks that he is. I don't know. I think the only time.
Yeah. Big.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, he's a great athlete.
Right. If he would have been, and I'm not talking about Anissa because I am a big Anissa fan, but if he would have been, say, partnered up with Anissa and they still would have been crushing challenges and he would have been able to help her and work with her and motivate her and as a team, then that's something to say, okay, not only is he, you know, an athlete on his own, but he can work with all sorts of people and be great in a team. But the only times that he's really had like headbanger moments were the first couple challenges when they were basically like just handed to him. First two challenges when no one really voted for him and Anissa anyway. And then the elimination where he blindsided Nelson. So other than that, he really hasn't done
in a hall brawl, which is like he literally took up half the space, all of the space.
Yes, exactly. I wouldn't have even picked him. I would have picked Darrell because he's one of the best and he's partnered with Amber, who's a rookie. Nani's not working with her, doesn't have any, you know, whatever. So I definitely think that she should have picked Darrell over Fessy, no doubt. Secondly, I am so shocked that no one is talking about, and maybe it's because it's just this episode literally just ended, but the way everyone was so hard on CT, the way that he made such a big deal about I want Cam and kind of kicking Big T to the curb last week and how it was this big ordeal or the week before that. And she was crying and upset and it was so disrespectful how CT acted when he was just like so hyped up and he was like, I want Cam. But no one is talking about how disrespectful and embarrassing it is when literally Kyle is standing there like, F my life, this effing sucks. And TJ is like chuckling. And then Anissa runs down there and he's like, I hate this game. Oh my God. He's like stern, rolling his eyes. Like no one's talking about that. It's the same thing. He was doing the same thing that CT did, except they were just on the opposite ends of the spectrum. CT was so overexcited and jumping up and down and screaming. And while
Kyle is just kind of like
someone just totally deflated his balloon. Like he's on like death's door and he's just like ready to just like give it all up. So I thought that kind of sucked too. And then my third thing is just like looping back around to the fact that Nani still didn't actually even do anything to get the skull. Like she didn't participate in the daily. Kyle did it for her. She had her friends do her a solid to throw her in. And then in her pre-interview for the thing, she's like, this is my time. I've been waiting. I've been ready. Yeah, you're ready now because it's literally the last possible chance. Like you didn't have balls all season to be like, throw me in. You literally waited till the very last one. And then you're going in against a rookie girl. Like it's not like you're going in against another
who's like half her size.
Just she acted like she
Gabby's
like,
fit, but she's like she's short, she's small, and Nani, I mean, Nani's
totally
strong.
Totally inexperienced.
Right. She knows the moves on how to rip something out of someone's hand. She's been in enough elimination rounds to know.
Seeing them before seeing other people compete in them probably has to take so much of the edge off than someone who's coming in. Yes, Gabby had been part of the season thus far, but had never been down there. I mean, the nerves, the adrenaline, everything. And it's Nani's like 400th elimination that she like finally won one, which is great for her. But so many things. And I was just pained me a little bit to watch.
Also, I agree with the whole Darrell thing. I was thinking CT in my mind, but I honestly now think Darrell's a better pick because he dominates in a final. Like that man is not going to give up. Not that CT would either, but I just think maybe Darrell would be slightly easier to work with.
Yeah, I agree.
Right then and there, I just feel like Nani made the completely wrong move. Watching Amber in that daily challenge, like I don't think she definitely does not have what it takes to be in the final. Like I'm sorry, girlfriend, if she makes it to the final, it's gonna hit her like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, I think that is gonna be a big shock for her. I'm just curious to see what they do moving forward, because like, okay, so at this point, I mean, literally everyone except for Corey and Big T, who are now partners, everybody else has a skull. So I'm really
right
anxious to
like
see
the Hail Mary.
I wonder how that's going to work, because literally the only thing that I can think of is either next week they're just going to be like, okay, Corey and Big T, you don't have a skull, like I'm only moving forward with the people that do, or it's got to be like some wild. No, but then it's got to be some like wild double elimination type thing. But they, because you have to give both Corey and Big T a chance to steal one, right?
Right.
But then they just did a double. So it kind of seems like then the other option would be maybe sometimes in previous seasons they've done like sudden death type challenges. Mm-hmm. Like the last place person just automatically goes home.
Right. You so just that lose your might skull.
That might be a possible option. But I think
was thinking that too.
That's what I'm most anxious to see what happens next. But you have to give them, they're the last pair that don't have skulls. You have to at least give them a chance, I would think. It would really suck if, because then I would feel like at the end of that, TJ would have been like, well, that's all my skulls. Like, bye also to you two, and not drag them along for another.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we always knew that there's always going to be one last opportunity to get a skull.
Mm-hmm. I just can't believe that we are 80% through with the season. And I've never seen anything like the curse that is Corey and his partners. It's actually so funny, but also
six partners in 6 weeks that man has gone through.
It's honestly
that's a record.
So funny, but also so terrifying. Yeah, that's something.
I know. What do you think that curse is going to mean? Will he make it to a final with this curse he's got? I know it's sending his partners home, but it also doesn't give him a great opportunity, because then he's like rogue every week.
Yeah, I really don't know, because at this point everyone is partnered up. There are no rogue agents. I don't know how many episodes are left in this season. You know, either they're going to do two more weeks of guy elimination and then a girl elimination to get it back down to even numbers, or they're going to do something like we had said, last place automatically goes home, but then that would mean that these are the final teams, and at some point they have to be final teams, right? What I would think would be so funny and great is that they did what they did in
Johnny Bananas and Sarah. Yes. Let's just bring that back, because you know these are some ruthless players this season.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, if they get the chance to take all that money, I think we would definitely see someone take it.
And it's not like they've even been, I mean, yes, like Jarrell and Amber have been together the whole time, and Casey and Leroy, but you know, everyone else has been swapped around. It's not like you've been ride or die with your partner the whole time anyway. So I could totally see like challenges within like the final challenge. Like that could be something. I wonder if like during the final challenge, I don't even know how this would work, but imagine if the final challenge was like a multi-day challenge, which it would be so weird. But if you somehow had challenges within that final and you swapped partners during it, that would be really, I don't even know how that would work. But
oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah, like if at the end of day one, like you were ranked and then something, it's kind of weird, but I know in some previous seasons, they've had during a final challenge, they've had like mini eliminations in the final challenges. Sometimes when like there's been a big group, when there's been like 10 people or 8 people that go to the final, they've had like mini eliminations throughout. So maybe something along those lines. And
right.
TJ's always like, you never know what's going to happen. I'm like,
that's
but tell
so
me.
True. You do never know what's going to happen. Real quick. You know, we have to touch on this because, again, I'm just so annoyed of Fessy using my girl Gabby. Like,
I literally knew you were going to say this. I knew it.
I mean, she looks like she's in a happy relationship now with some man on Instagram,
right,
which is great. I just hate that she's even subjected to this and that she fell in the Fessy trap of being in the house and thinking that he cares for her, all while he's talking about Tori with Corey.
I have so many thoughts on this. So this is, I'm convinced that this is the reason. So if you look at it, you have Darrell, who's married with kids, I'm pretty sure. Leroy,
right,
obviously dating Cam. You have CT, he's with family, you know. Gabby's only options literally are Corey, who like options as in like for the just the sake of the game. She's got Corey, she's got Kyle, and she's got Fessy. And
she really only has Fessy and Kyle though, let's be honest.
Right, because yes, exactly.
Corey's got babies and stuff.
Yes.
He seems committed.
If she gets too close, she's gonna end up like with baby number three. So that's not she's probably staying away.
Very fertile.
Yes, very. So the only people that have really also showed her, like the only person that showed her attention was Fessy. But I hate that at the beginning of the season, she literally went into a confessional and talked about how Fessy has no game. And there was the
He doesn't.
And there was the
It's cringe to watch.
She was in the kitchen with the, they just come in from a little igloo party and she had the braids in and it was that scene in the kitchen where he was trying to be all flirty and she was just like, And I was like, yes, go girl, because he literally doesn't have game. It's one thing if you have semi game or no game, but you're so good at these challenges and you're just like crushing left and right and you're just running the table and he was not doing any of those things. So that could even get some bonus points, but he literally wasn't even doing anything at that moment and was pissing everyone off. I think this was right in the middle of all his like turmoil or somewhere around there. So just nothing is like adding brownie points to this dude. And I just hate that. Yes, you're in the house and you have to, I guess, like find someone to spend your time with, but, and they're like lurking around in closets and like weird Harry Potter closets and like all this like weird stuff. Why are you guys being so just absolutely weird? And then for him, Fessy's not even allowed to talk about Tori. Like no one is allowed to talk about Tori. She's literally my pride and joy and a gem of a human. I'm so distraught. I feel like I had a breakup when Jordan and Tori broke up. Yes, I can't even talk about it. I get emotional. And of all people, literally Fessy is not allowed to literally talk about her. And that whole little workout conversation, little locker room conversation between him and Corey, this was the thing. I just pick up on these little like micro details. For Fessy to be in the confessional and say, I mean, you know, we lie, but you know, she's got a man. Okay, she doesn't have a man. She has a fiance. Which she did at the time. I'm like, there is a difference. Don't just be like,
no, and Corey even said that too. He like called her her boyfriend or something, and it was like, no, this is a little more serious.
Like, did y'all miss the season where he literally dropped down on a knee after an elimination with a big fat wedding ring? Like
challenge history.
Yes, like come on, please now. So yeah, Corey's saying that the boyfriend thing, and she's got a man, and then Corey's like, well, I know there's like trouble in paradise. Ooh, I was like, don't you guys even dare? You don't even have the right to talk about them. It was so weird, and also. Fessy is talking, and then Corey makes some comment about if Tori and Gabby were both here. Like, Fessy's got all these options. The ladies just lined up. He just gets to take his pick. Are you literally kidding?
So misogynistic.
Did I miss the episode where Fessy fell down and smacked his head on the pavement and woke up thinking that he was the man? I'm confused.
His ego is ginormous. It has been this entire season. Clearly, we know they did break up Tori and Jordan, and I'm wondering if Fessy took his shot and if there's anything there between them.
I don't think that he did because Tori was on a podcast a few months, I think the end of last year, that I watched, and she had talked about on the podcast that at the time when that episode aired where Fessy was like, oh, I kind of have the hots for Tori, everyone started blowing up her DMs and mentioning her on Twitter, being like, oh my gosh, did you cheat on Jordan? Is that why you guys broke up? And Tori had to go on the record and say, you guys have to remember that stuff that airs on TV has a 6 to 8 month gap from what is happening in real life. So Jordan and I broke up over the summer. This is now airing 6 months later. That is not the reason. It has nothing to do with it. When I had went on the show, it was when Jordan and I were having problems. We decided that we were too much on top of each other. So instead of both of us going on the show or both of us not, we decided that one of us would see if the time apart, you know, made it a stronger or better. I was the one that went on the show. It didn't actually help. And when I got back, we ultimately made the decision to separate. And now 6 months later, when this stuff is airing, everybody wants to connect the dots, but there are no dots to connect. 2 weeks after she got back from filming, they called it quits for good. That, you know, has nothing to do with one or the other. And she also said on the podcast, just because someone, I think almost verbatim, she said, just because someone expresses interest in me doesn't mean that I reciprocate the same interest to them. So she was like, Bessie can, or anyone can sit, you know, around and talk about till they're blue in the face how much they have the hots for me or anyone, but that doesn't mean that it's reciprocated or that anyone is, you know, right, feeding into that.
Would want to go there or do anything. Yeah. Or.
And I think if there was even the most slightest flirty comment or like arm touch or anything, we 100%, you know, the MTV would have aired it for just like the extra layer of drama.
Yeah, right.
But there wasn't.
There really wasn't. Ever. Yeah, there was just that, I think, slight, I wouldn't even call it flirtiness because I felt like they were just talking and like having a conversation, but like in the beginning of the season, this season. Mm-hmm. And then that's when he was like, yeah, I like Tori, like in the confessional and everything. And it was, ooh. Right. But then, yeah, nothing really came up before she left the house. It didn't really seem like there was anything going on.
And then he just is like flipping back and forth until one of the two of them, which goes home, which just happened to have been Tori. And now he's like, okay, yeah, Gabby, I got my girl.
Such a dude. Such a guy.
I hate that she gave into it too. I wish that she would have stuck with. He has no game. And then I wish that he would have tried to. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, could you imagine if Gabby had won the elimination and then she picked Fessy? You never mix business with pleasure ever. For her sake, I'm just very glad that that didn't happen. Oh gosh, girl, I wish you would have just like stuck with it. And from episode one to the end, I wish you would have just been like, yeah, he has no game, and just stuck with it and just like been firm in that.
You know, when you're stuck in a house, it's a pandemic. I give it to her. It's fine. You know,
we'll give her a
pass. It's been hard. It's been hard out here for a lot of people. Yeah. So he's still calling Corey his best friend. Did you hear that this episode? Yeah, he's like, I'm going to vote for my best friend, Corey. I was like,
and you're like, okay, like, oh, we'll see if that's like reciprocated.
I don't know. Maybe Corey did forgive him. I'm sure he probably did in the house, but I don't know. In real life, I feel like I would take a step back, but I don't know. You know, these people play these games all the time, so they betray each other, but.
Right, and that's exactly what I would do if I was Corey. I would always play it like that. I would be like, yeah, man, no problem, got your back. And then the first chance in the final where you have to knock someone, I'd be like, this is my boy Nelson. Boom. And I just like give him an extra like 30 minutes. Yeah, exactly.
Right, extra 30 minutes. You're not meeting me. But I honestly feel like if Corey makes it to the final, I don't know if Fessy is going to be the scary one to beat. Sometimes I don't really know what he's like the best at other than his strength.
Yeah. I mean, I know that everybody wants to hate on Anissa and be like, oh my gosh, Anissa and Fessy, like what a pair. But like, okay, now Nani and Fessy, is it really leaps and bounds that much better? You know, I mean,
right. No, there's pros and cons, I think, to having both of them as a partner. Right. Anissa's great at puzzles and she's strong and she's won how many eliminations? And there's a lot that she has seen and done and won to where like Nani, she's great at running, but I feel like the rest is just kind of meh.
She just gets so flustered too. And even at the end of this episode, it was previews for next week and it was the underwater challenge. Mm-hmm. And literally you can hear Nani being like, I don't even know which way is up, which way is down. I'm so overwhelmed. And we're like, oh, imagine that.
Oh no.
Yes, we know. She gets so in her mind, and I'm sure any of us,
which is interesting because, you know, after so many seasons, you think you would learn how to kind of cope with the pressure. And because, you know, I feel like we see that a lot in Josh right now. He doesn't know how to handle the pressure, especially in elimination rounds. He kind of freaks out, starts to panic. And I feel like that's kind of how Nani does in those situations. And it's like interesting to see, you know, you've done this for so long, but you can't calm yourself down and like focus yourself.
I feel like she is always searching for the thing or the person or the elimination or the something. Like she's always searching for the X, you know, that is going to
help her finally win.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not always the elimination or the partner or this or that. Sometimes it is just you, whether that be like your physical game or your mental game. But you know, if you want to preach that you are a vet, you've dedicated 10 years of your life. Oh, it must be so hard for you to get flown all over the world and have MTV pay you to be on TV.
I mean, she she takes hits.
Right, but
might be worth it, right, yeah, for all that traveling and exposure.
Yeah, so put me on TV. You guys can take as many hits as you would like. For her to talk about how she's like dedicated all this time or whatever, I totally agree with you. You would think that you have been doing this for so long, you've probably seen a lot of these challenges and eliminations or variations of them. So it's interesting.
So let's get into the elimination round. Ring of Spies. Not shocked, slightly surprised at how well Gabby did the first round. And yeah, then I feel like she lost some steam and confidence after the second one.
Exactly what you said. I wasn't surprised, but I was like, oh yeah, like go girl, like absolutely. But I think that she just gassed out really, because I think mm-hmm. on the second one, she basically just lets go. And I say that for lack of a better thing. Like,
no, but she kind of did. Go, she did. She could have tried to, you know, throw a different move in there, hook it again.
And maybe it was because her arms are like on fire. She just gassed out, or she's so just tired, you know, whatever reason. Obviously, I don't think she was just like, nah, I don't want to do this.
No, right. I think she was giving it her all.
Right. Third one, I think Nani just got like a better spin on it, because that one was like over pretty fast. Everyone was cheering for Nani again, because everyone's just like David and Goliath story. Everybody. I mean, you have everybody. It's really
Leroy, Casey, Cam.
Yeah.
I think Corey was obviously cheering for Gabby. Really do believe that might have been it. I think Kyle was even rooting for
Nani. He was. I don't know if everybody noticed this, but this elimination was literally the exact elimination the last season when Bananas won, and when they were in the snowstorm.
Yes.
It was literally they had a random elimination round within the middle of the final.
Yeah.
And it was Bananas and Fessy. It was the exact same elimination, except it was in like 6 feet of snow, because when they jumped up to grab the hoop and they landed, we were like, whoop, where'd they go? Like, fell in the snow. You didn't know where.
Yeah.
It was like a blizzard outside. It was literally that exact elimination. Except in Banana and Fessy's case, I'm pretty sure it was just like a one. I don't think it was like best two out of three.
No,
or maybe it was.
I think it was, but Bananas dominated.
Yeah, but it was the exact thing. And I was like, oh, I've seen this before. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think that it was a good elimination, but I think Gabby gassed out. But I think that we'll see her again. So
yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I hope so. I hope she's coming back. I feel like we should be getting an announcement sometime soon.
Yeah.
I'm sure after the season probably ends. But we got that All-Star game coming on Paramount Plus.
Okay, let's talk about that. Because
Jordan called it. I don't know if you said it on the podcast.
MTV.
I think you did.
MTV, where is my check?
This girl needs to get paid.
Where is my check? I'm so stoked, and I really hope this comes to fruition, and I hope they bring back the OGs. Like, I want Beth, who's like 50 years old, up in here. Like,
oh my god,
if anyone listening is like a die-hard challenge fan, like you remember like the OGs, everyone back with Anissa, Darrell, CT, like all their kind of time back when they were on their first challenges, social media was not a poppin' thing. It was not a way of life. So the same way that you had said that when you go to Gabby's social media now, there's really not a lot of challenge references. If you go to some of the OGs, they straight up have like 900 followers, and it's just like them and like their house plants. I watched you on TV, girl. What are you doing? It's so, so funny. And so I would love if they bring back all of those like really crazy heavy hitters, guys and girls, and just have it be this totally wild moment. But you did mention Paramount Plus, and literally also for anyone listening, they are blowing my mind, because if you go and get Paramount Plus, they have, starting with season 11, they literally have the challenge season 11 to 34, I believe.
What?
Really on Paramount Plus. You can watch all of them.
That is the most seasons that there's ever been anywhere on a streaming. Wait, what is happening? Like, all of a sudden, Netflix got a couple episodes. Were they buying up episodes or seasons?
I don't even know.
Netflix has, like, two. Hulu now has, like, 4 to 5. of the more recent seasons, 30 something to like 35, I think, 33. So they got like the OG episodes.
Yeah, if you go to Netflix, I believe season, it's like the seasons from 2005 to 6 and then 6 to 7.
Yeah.
But which are like, which
watch them. They're great.
Yes. And I think those are seasons, honestly, like season, I don't even know.
Well, they're like not technically the challenge because one's like Road Rules and then the other one's like the duels.
Right. What it used to be. But then, so kind of in the beginning, it's like a little miscellaneous. And in the beginning, TJ wasn't the host. So those don't even really matter anyway. Season 11, I'm pretty sure, is the first one where TJ is the host. So 11 to 33 or 4 is literally all on Paramount Plus. You can binge them all. And the first half of those episodes, they were only 30-minute episodes on TV. So when you cut out the commercials, which there are none, they're like 20-minute episodes. There's only 8 to 12 episodes. You can literally watch like 3 seasons of The Challenge in a day. I mean, not that I
have. She's like, I'm going to do it. There goes my weekend.
But yes, I'm very stoked for the upcoming season. I hope it's all OG All-Stars, and I hope it's, I mean, it's going to blow our minds if that happens.
It's going to be so good. It's just exciting in general to be able to see everybody and just kind of see where they are when they're competing because it's been so long. Like, I wonder who's in shape, who's not. Even when CT, he's really one of the older OGs besides like Wes and Bananas. Even he, you know, took a break, kind of got out of shape. When he came back, he was like, oh shit, like this is hard. Like, I forgot how hard this is. And he had to kind of retrain to get back in shape for the challenge.
Every single person is going to give it their absolute 1000% because regardless of what shape you're in or how long it's been since you've done it or whatever, everybody is going to feel like they have a little bit of ownership over the show and the egos in the room. Not that it's a bad thing, but no one is going to be throwing challenges. No one's going to be like, I don't want to eat that, I don't want to do that, because everyone is going to feel like it is kind of their show and they're the reason,
they're gonna have like, it's almost like reproving themselves that they are the best, like they're still like some of the best.
And at the end of the day, the MTV wouldn't be on its 30th plus season of the show if the first 10 sucked and no one watched them. So
they like made the show what it was. I agree. And also, it's so interesting watching it back because back then, like the first couple seasons I binged on Netflix, they all wanted to go in so bad to eliminations. They would beg their teammates to put them in. They're like, let me prove it to you guys. I want to win. I want to help. And it's so interesting now to see how scared everybody is to go in because they're scared to go home. It was like exciting for them.
Also, though, a little different because the previous seasons, they're in these like villas in Mexico with water slides and they're playing for like $25,000. Okay, if I win, I can go buy a Kia. Cool.
Hey, okay. Literally, it was still like quite a bit of money for 15 years ago.
But now they're in like these bunkers and these secluded Iceland, you know, homes and they're playing for $1 million. So it's a little different.
Higher stakes.
Yes.
Makes you more crazy.
Yes. Yeah, so, but totally you're right, because before in previous seasons, if someone, guys and girls too, like if someone got in a tiff with someone, they'd be like, put me in the last simulation. Like, I'm going to rip their head off.
Right.
And now people literally like nowadays, huge blowout fights, throwing drinks at each other, cussing each other out. And then they have the opportunity to do elimination against each other. And like, no, we just squashed the drama. It's fine. I bet it's fine. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Maybe it's just because this season, I feel like we've had a pretty weak rookie team. You know, all the rookies are, they're not very hungry for it, I feel, majority of them.
Yeah. And they've all, for the most part, been matched up with pretty, I know not so much earlier in the season, but some of the ones now who are matched up with pretty good, you know, competitors, guy competitors, they're like, I'm good to go.
So now we have new partners. Final five teams.
Yes.
How are we feeling, I guess? We talked about this a little bit earlier, but, you know, there's clearly going to be one, possibly two more challenges slash eliminations coming our way. And now we have Big T and Corey, Anissa, Kyle, and Nani and mm-hmm. Fessy.
Yes.
New teams. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about these? I personally love Big T and Corey. I feel like they're going to get along for hopefully the long amount of time. Hopefully they'll get uh-huh. their skulls. I want to see them in a final, I think just because they're like a fan favorite.
Yeah, here's the problem with them is...
No, tell. Okay, tell, tell.
Yeah.
It's like an evil giggle. Them...
I don't know how... I'm trying to think of like a very polite way to say that neither of them are smart.
Puzzles.
So, yeah. So that's kind of tough. I feel like maybe sometimes, obviously, it's unlikely that you're going to have a pair, especially this late in the game, that is spectacular on both ends. Sometimes it's like what one is lacking, the other one brings, and that makes them a nice duo together. But I mean, I've watched so many seasons. I've watched, and everyone gets flustered, but I mean, I don't think that either of them can do math. And I've seen Corey, even earlier this season, I mean, arrows go this way, they go the wrong way. I've seen him in challenges where he's like the very last part of a challenge is like to run up and like press this button, and he runs up and he like can't find the button.
That is so true.
And Big T, I mean, she gets 5 feet off the ground and she starts hyperventilating and screaming, which all the credit to her because she's actually been such a knockout the past couple of challenges. But I feel like it's worked for her, and especially worked for her with CT, because that one was someone that was very firmly rooted in being able to help and be encouraging and knowing what the hell they're doing. And I don't...
Right. I can CT imagine, is actually very smart.
Yes, extremely. And I can see how Corey would be very encouraging as well. But I also don't think he knows what the hell he's doing half the time. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out.
I guess I just want to see them in a final. I want to see them as a duo. But
they're like
you did bring a lot of good things to light that will go against them.
In my eyes, Big T and Corey are like the mini version of Nani and Josh. Lost and dazed and confused and... At least that sounds bad to say, but at least not in the, and maybe it's just not lack of, maybe it's not lack of smarts. It's just like total nerves and being flustered in these challenges.
It could be.
But so that'll be interesting.
All right. So maybe they won't make it. Maybe they won't. Yeah. Or maybe just one of them.
It would be very entertaining to watch. Maybe not to live it.
All right. What do you think about Kyle and Anissa?
Same thing what I said earlier. I think it sucks how he reacted to it. I just hope that he doesn't let him being so upset actually affect the way that he... I hope he just doesn't throw in the towel and be thinking, well, that's it. You know, we're not going to win. Because Anissa really can be great at times. She really can. She is more experienced than pretty much any of them or as mm-hmm, most as some of right. them. Because the worst is when you feel just like a total lack of trying and confidence, I think is really... something that from the jump, if that's the way that you're going to act, then you're setting yourself up for failure. So I hope that doesn't happen.
Plus, I feel like she really does need encouragement. So hopefully, yeah, I agree. I don't know if Kyle would give up, but I also don't know if he would make the situation better. They do make it to the final and have to run together.
Yeah, I can't see him being like, well, let me throw in the towel, but I also can't help. Like exactly what you said, can't see him really turning the situation around.
Yeah, I feel like he'd just get pissed and then be like, fuck you, Anissa. Like, I'm running this. Yeah. Meet me at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And then be like, see everyone? See, told you. Like, okay, yeah.
Okay, we see a little bit in the preview. CT and Cam are not working out. Mm-hmm. Like, he is kind of grunty. I don't know. Maybe he was just getting frustrated because he knows how good Cam can be, and the fact that she wasn't maybe was kind of setting him off.
Right. I think that also the same way that, you know, kind of what I was saying earlier with you just would assume that you can put these two people together and it just works. That's not always the case. And I think that they're both very strong, independent players, but you have to be able to communicate with one another, and you have to be maybe not happy about the situation that you're in, but you have to be receptive to the situation that you're in. And I don't feel like Cam wanted to separate. And I just think that she thought that her and Kyle and Leroy and Casey were just kind of set up and no one was like really gunning for them. And I think she just had that in her mind. And especially since CT didn't pick her from the beginning, I don't think she thought she was going to get picked, especially like CT did not pick her from the jump, literally blew her off. And he has been working so well with Big T. So I really just think that she was caught off guard. And then their first challenge, which is obviously the one we saw tonight, didn't go super fantastic. And so I think that going into next week, I think that they have more communication problems. I think that's apparent, but you just have to not only be strong, you know, competitors individually, but you have to be able to work as a team unit as well. So I think they might struggle with that a little.
So maybe there's one last hope to see some of these pairs switch around before we get to the final. And then, oh my God, but I'm so excited. The final, you know, we're seeing the sun start to rise over the mountain. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm really, I'm starting to peak. I'm excited about it too. I just feel like I have, with everyone else that watches, we've seen the past few seasons all be... And again, they can only do so much with the circumstances in which the world is. But I'm so excited for the final, but I'm also so ready. Like, I really hope next season they're back in Thailand or something. Like, I want everyone to be sweating, scorching, scorpions, the heat. Like, I am...
We're over the cold. Yeah, it has been two back-to-back seasons in the cold.
And of course, you know, there's only so much they can do with that, but excited for this. And I hope that it's different challenges and different checkpoints and things like that than other snow seasons. But I also hope that this is our last snow season for a while.
I think they deserve to have a bungalow on a mountain overlooking the ocean with a slide in the pool. Next season, they deserve it, especially getting through this year.
Yes. And that's where all the best conversations and fights break out. It's always poolside too. So it's like good for the show. It's good for them. Especially if they're going to do a house of all OGs, you know that everyone's going to have huge personalities. Everyone knows everyone already. So everyone all like has beef from real life, from the show, like underlying.
Old drama. Like, some people just like, don't get along. Tweets.
Yes, everything. So, like, you know, I think that you got to kind of switch up the locations, obviously to the best that they can. You know, this is... It's tough, but I hope that we see some fun stuff, even though it's like a snow season. I know that they can still make it good, so.
I'm excited for next season. Everyone go check out the older seasons on Hulu, Netflix, Paramount Plus. They're everywhere. Yes. They're flying around.
And
all the streaming
also,
services.
Yes. Sponsored? No, we're kidding.
Hit a call up.
If you also are curious about where some of the challengers come from, I have found so much enjoyment out of watching old seasons of all of the big challengers' original shows. Just finished season 3 of Are You the One, if y'all remember that show.
I've watched all those.
That's literally Devin's first season, Brittany's first season. She wasn't on this past season, but everyone like knows her. Amanda, also not on the season, but a big challenge person. Hunter, I mean, so wild. And now I'm just starting season 4 of Are You the One, and that's Tori's first season. So also in between, after the season ends and before the next one starts, if you are itching to do something, you should watch, because it's so funny, because these shows are from 5 to 10 almost years ago, or like 8 years ago or something. And it's so funny to watch their original shows, especially this past season with Devin. You actually get to see Devin on his original show and have him just be like a total just, oh my gosh, outrageous. And you're like, yes, this makes perfect sense. Now I know why Devin is the way that he is now. Literally so funny.
I definitely love Are You the One. Yeah, I agree with you. Everyone should check it out. I mean, a lot of the MTV reality shows cross over to the challenge. Are You the One? Mm-hmm. X on the Beat. Mm-hmm. I think like X on the Peak. There's a couple. I know, because I've watched them. Like, sometimes I don't watch it too hardcore and I do some other things while I'm watching.
It's like, it's background TV.
Right. It's great background TV, and then you're like, hey, I know this person, and then they come on the challenge. I honestly think that that is what majority of these people hope for, is starting on those dating ones and then making their way to the challenge. At least I remember a couple of people, oh my gosh, they're not coming to my brain now, but I know a couple people that were on the dating ones that made it to the challenge on their first seasons, they were like, yeah, mm-hmm. this is why I joined MTV.
100%. Every time that MTV does casting calls, I literally, or I used to, maybe, I don't know, I'm in my older years. I'm in my late
older 20s. Years. Oh my gosh.
I'm in my
gosh.
Late 20s now, or my mid 20s, depending on who you ask, not my early 20s. So I've matured. But I literally used to apply for every single MTV show that existed because all I wanted to do was get casted for any random show so I could maybe be on the challenge. I was like, this is my segue. It's the gateway show. So but that's what a lot of them do.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep trying to get you on.
It's funny. They'll send emails. They'll be like, are you a divorcee living with your, I'm like, no, but I can be, like, let me work it out.
I'll make up a storyline.
Yeah.
It's like, I know actors.
Crazy, some wild family drama. Da-da-da. I'm like, I'll make some up. Like, please.
Right. You got a catfish story.
Yeah. But some of them do that
slightly get
thing.
You on.
We'll brainstorm.
We'll talk about this later.
That'll be an exclusive episode.
How to get Jordan on the challenge.
Yeah. We'll start like,
we will take any of your inquiries, whatever comments,
any
thoughts, suggestions.
Yeah.
Send them our way. Thank you so much for being here, Jordan.
Yeah.
So fun chatting with you. I love hearing your thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
And let the people know where they can find you. Check you out. Also, Jordan has another podcast that she hosts. Tell them all about it.
Yeah. So I'm also on the Believe Network. I host a college football show. So if you guys are interested, that is there as well. Otherwise, I'm just on Twitter at Jay Dollinger. So yeah, tweet me all your challenge thoughts. MTV, if you're listening, I'll take my check. Thank you. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Be sure to check Jordan out on her social media and her other podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We love having you here, Jordan. You guys can follow me, your host, Katie Walski, at @KatieWalski_ on Instagram and Twitter. Come chat with me. Come chat with me and Jordan. Let's start a group chat. Let's all talk about the challenge, all of the seasons that we have to watch, guys, now that are on Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus, / the list goes on. Make sure you guys are subscribing to the podcast. We are anywhere that you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Google Play, you know it all. You know where to listen to the podcast. And we put out new episodes every week. Tune in next week because next week is going to be very telling, possibly one of the last weeks before we hit this final, guys. Let's go. Let's get it.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save.